And turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 35 through 45. We'll be reading from the English Standard Version, the translation in your pew Bibles. How gracious God is to open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to receive these words as they are, God's Word, infallible, inspired. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 35 and reading through verse 45. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues, and casting out demons. And the leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean, and Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, how thankful we are that Christ is here. We thank you that Jesus is the living word. And Father, we thank you that his light himself, he shines into the darkness. And Father, thank you that the darkness did not on this day, nor has it ever, nor will it ever overcome indeed the light of the world. Thank you for drawing us to Christ this night. We thank you, indeed, that you are on your holy throne of grace. And Father, thank you that Jesus is at your right hand interceding for us even now. Thank you for this time, and thank you for the Holy Spirit's power in illumining the hearts of us all. Thank you that the means of grace are yours to the glory of your Son. And thank you that he is revealed clearly in every text from your whole counsel, inspired, infallible, without error, from Genesis to Revelation. Thank you for this time in this text. May we reflect deeply upon the glory of Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Promised Land is, of course, a very long way from the Garden of Eden. And Mark, inspired by the Holy Spirit, has just given us a vivid glimpse of that in the verses leading up to verse 35. We'll just look at one. Look at verse 34. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. The contrast between the power of Jesus and the weakness of Israel, infected by demons throughout, is immeasurable. It's very vivid as our text begins. And yet, in verse 35, Jesus does not sleep in. Jesus does not do what is his prerogative to do, indeed being powerful enough, alone in all of human history, to exercise his power over the demons, but rather, indeed, having healed many, having cast out demons from many, and having silenced many demons, period. He rises very early the next morning while it was still dark, and he goes to a place where he can pray to his Father away from all others. Indeed, Jesus reveals himself to be a man of prayer throughout his earthly ministry. In Luke 3:21, we read that it was while Jesus was praying that the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. Biblical scholar William Hendrickson lists 14 passages that reveal Jesus praying as he expounds upon this verse in his commentary. And he helps us recognize how important prayer was to Jesus. This list is not exhaustive, but Hendrickson rightly, biblically writes, "These references must be considered as being merely examples of a much more extensive life of prayer and thanksgiving." Now, the application for us: Jesus, without ever being burdened by sin, having both a divine and a human nature, was a man of prayer. Of course, in contrast, we are burdened by sin, and we never have reason to think that we are so free from being entangled in the affairs of this life that we don't have need to pray. And so we need to indeed have this passage impressed upon us in terms of the blessing, but also the imperative we have to be a people of prayer. If Jesus indeed found it worthwhile to wake up early in the morning while it was dark to pray, how much more ourselves who pray, blessedly by God's great grace, in Jesus' name. We need to look at one additional passage revealing Jesus praying. Turn to Matthew 11, and again, the importance of prayer for us. As indeed we pray in the name of the Lord who has saved us, who was a man of and is a man of prayer. Verses 25 through 30 of Matthew 11. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. How precious it is that one of the ways that Christ gives us rest, lightens our load, is through prayer in his name. He has taken the burden of the weight of all our guilt upon himself, and indeed has given us his yoke, which is light, as we pray in his holy name. As again, he is so good, so kind, indeed so condescending to speak to us and indeed to live among us, to walk among us as a brother, and indeed to model for us prayer as the one who goes and accomplishes salvation for us forevermore. Another, again, going further down this road of application, how good it is for us to pray early in the morning. And we want to be balanced here. We don't want to make this legalistic, that somehow, indeed, we invoke God's favor in terms of the time of day that we pray. But the Puritans did well in submission to God's word. They used to describe how good it is to start our days, first and foremost, when we first awake, praying to God, and then speaking to our spouse, and then to our children. Again, to pray while it is still dark is a blessed way to orient ourselves to the Lord and his grace as we begin to fight the good fight of faith by God's grace alone, to the glory of Christ alone, as we pray and live in his name alone, as we fight the spiritual battle that God has called us to fight in our given time and place within redemptive history. One last text, indeed, to ring in our ears, a text of prayer, again, in continuity with what Jesus models here, and as Jesus commands to us to be a people of prayer, Ephesians 6:16 through 18. In all circumstances, Paul writes, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Again, the text on the spiritual armor is profoundly a text with an exclamation point on prayer. Again, the blessing to do so diligently. Again, all prayer, all supplication, keeping alert with all perseverance. How? Through the praying for the saints in the perseverance of the saints. Paul even asked for prayer himself, as again, the importance of prayer in this text and all others is impressed upon us. Now that brings us with the primacy of prayer, evident in verse 35. We see in verses 36 through 39 the primacy of preaching for Jesus. Again, the flow of this text is very much against the grain of how many in broader evangelicalism are sometimes tempted to think about the ministry of Jesus and, again, the primacy of where preaching was within his ministry. Preaching of Jesus himself, the content of his preaching, and of all within the church in submission to him as the alone Lord of his bride, his church, The primary means through which Christ ministers to his sheep is the preaching of the gospel from the inspired word of God. This is the means of grace Jesus preaches throughout the synagogues of Galilee. As Hendrickson points out, this is not the response the apostles are expecting. They expect him to go back to Capernaum, as indeed in the light of his miracles and his healing, the expectation is that he will go back to the crowds there. But the key word here is the word in verse 38 also. As he said to them, let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. In other words, Capernaum has what it needs as a city. It has heard the gospel preached from Jesus, about Jesus, by Jesus. And so the other towns, indeed, as the church grows and expands and is blessed to receive Christ, they will do so through his preaching. In the language of Hendrickson, the miracles are always ancillary to the primacy of the preaching of God's word, modeled by Jesus himself. Now, one other important point that Hendrickson brings to bear, the synagogues. Archaeology has found that they all faced, throughout the Promised Land, they all faced Jerusalem. This has profound implications for Jesus and his preaching. He preached in the synagogues. He was always, as he preached, facing Jerusalem. He always faced his destination as he was going to the cross to take on, indeed, the hellish torments, the wages of our sin and the saints throughout time. And when he preached and when he exited the synagogue, it was always facing the direction of where he would go to Calvary. Miracles, again, they affirm the content of the preaching of the gospel. Jesus Christ crucified, obeying the law perfectly, dying not for any sins of his own, but for sinners, saved by grace alone through faith in him alone. Raised, indeed, on the Lord's Day in the language of the inspired word, and ascended up into glory as the Savior of the world at the right hand of the Father. And so as Jesus is eager from his earliest days in ministry to emphasize the primacy of his preaching, so it is for the church in submission to him for all time. If your Bibles are open, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. As many of you know, as again, Paul is about to be martyred for his faith. And as he goes on further on in chapter 4 to describe the peace he has, having fought the good fight of faith, proclaiming the gospel, and indeed encouraging the church in the preaching, the proclamation of Christ from the word, and inspired to write these words as well as much of the inspired New Testament alongside the equally inspired Old. Look at his command to Timothy in verses 1 through 5 of 2 Timothy 4. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Again, blessed encouragement for the church of all time in a day and an age where so many wrestle with indeed if they need to change how the gospel is communicated, to de-emphasize the preaching of God's word, to find other means to put Christ in front of sinners who need to be saved through faith in him alone. Paul's exhortation to Timothy is his exhortation to the church in every generation. Be steadfast, immovable, do the work of the evangelist, endure suffering. Indeed, the ears of the sheep always hear the voice of the good shepherd, and they do so again through the means of grace that Jesus Christ modeled, that he commanded, and again that he is blessed by his power and grace and love for his sheep alone throughout time. We are indeed, this is the dynamic that is calling us indeed to go to the Presbytery of Philadelphia. The blessing to see that churches are always beacons in the communities where God plants them because they provide a time and a place, or God does through them, on the Lord's Day where Christ will be preached again in submission as he is revealed in God's word alone. The dynamic in churches today is profoundly spiritually, no less than the synagogues in which Jesus preached. Sinners are focused on Jerusalem, on the temple, on the law, the cross, and the resurrected and ascended Lord, not through the way that the churches are built and oriented, but again through the means of grace as Christ is proclaimed. And indeed, as the saints that receive the gospel and reflect the grace given, it is your lives as the sheep of the Good Shepherd who are equipped through the means of grace, Lord's Day by Lord's Day. Your lives compel others to come and to hear Christ preach from His Word. There are many in Pennsylvania and Delaware who will hear about the testimony of Christ through you, as again, the means of grace is the same across time and across space. It is powerful, and how good it is to praise the Lord that the Lord is at work here, and indeed to trust Him in these exciting days, that as He continues to bless the means of grace as they are His, that the continuity of the proclamation of the gospel will be overseen, protected, and empowered by Him and by His Spirit working through His Word in the hearts of His own. Now, this brings us to verses 40 through 44. These are important verses because, again, they go against the grain of much. In a day and an age, Ben Hop, when he was here, shared, indeed, the tragedy of a so-called revival that was going on in the island of Laganov, in which the emphasis was on miraculous healings. Sadly, the doctrine that was proclaimed was heretical. Indeed, it was modalism, the idea that there is not one God in three persons, but rather that God changes. Again, there was the literal, explicit articulation that God is not three persons, but simply changes how He appears to us, changing from appearing as the Father to appearing as the Son to appearing as the Spirit. Again, the content of the preaching was heresy, but what was put in front of the people was that they should come and be blessed because of the healing. Notice the flow of the text here. Indeed, the healing of this one with leprosy is in the context of the command for him to stay silent, to go to the priest so that the focus of Jesus can be on the preaching of his gospel and of his word. Now, first, we need to look at the magnitude of Christ's grace, again, to all his sheep, modeled in his grace to this one leper. Turn in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 13, and we'll read verses 45 and 46. Beginning in verse 5 of Leviticus 13, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Now, to his credit, we have a beautiful example of a leper, again, who understands that the point of the entire law of God is to point people to the one keeper of that law. Technically speaking, he's not allowed to be in the presence of Jesus. He is a leper. He is to be outside the camp. He is to declare that he is unclean so that everyone, Jesus included, would stay away from him. But he knows what you know by the grace of God upon him. He has one chance for salvation. He has one hope, indeed, in life, and that is to be able to be received and accepted by Jesus. And so he comes and he touches Jesus. And again, Jesus, in pity and in mercy and love, leper though he is, as one profoundly unclean, indeed declares to him, "I will," in the response to the begging to be made clean, and declares, "Be clean." Again, this is the testimony of every sinner saved by grace alone. Now, in terms of the living alone and leaving the communion of the saints, Old Testament scholar Gordon Wenham actually uses these verses that Hendrickson applies to this text in Mark. He applies these to Genesis 3, verse 8. Adam and Eve, again, recognize their profound spiritual leprosy, and they flee communion with God. They recognize their uncleanness, and they leave. But William Hendrickson reminds us of these verses, the Old Testament law, in terms of the pity of Jesus on this leper and upon every sinner saved by grace alone. It is not in the keeping of the law that any are saved, but it is in recognition that what we need is mercy and not justice, or for rather justice only through Christ, taking the guilt of our sins away as the Old Testament promises and as he is on the way to the cross to accomplish. Indeed, the pity of Jesus looms large within his declaring clean this unclean leper. But now again, the leper is not allowed, or the leper is commanded to be silent. And again, this is oftentimes, there is much written about what a mystery this is. But of course, for you, by God's grace in a Reformed family, this is no mystery at all. Notice, first of all, the strength of Jesus' command. Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "Say that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But in verse 46, we see the temptation that so many have in with their place within the gospel. Again, eager to go out, and again, in something that draws attention to himself, but something that also, in rebellion against Jesus, focuses, distracts attention from the means of grace. Again, the news is spread so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places. And praise the Lord, people were coming to him from every quarter. Now, again, to leave space for Jesus to preach in an orderly context where he could be heard, this is the purpose of Jesus' command to the leper to be silent about Jesus having healed him. But even in the context of the leper's disobedience to our Lord, again, the Lord rules and overrules. And again, the proclamation of the gospel, the faithful preaching of himself by Jesus continues. People leave the distractions of the city and they come to Jesus in a quiet place. And that brings us to verse 45 in detail. There is a link here within the text between the people in verse 45 and Jesus in verse 35. Do you see the bookending of the text in verse 35? Jesus leaves all the crowds. He leaves everyone to go to God alone in a desolate and a lonely place so that he can be in the presence in communion with his Father through prayer. In verse 45, Jesus' people go to God, no less than Jesus going to the Father in prayer by coming to Jesus from every quarter to receive the gospel and to pray through his intercession again in a desolate, lonely place where they are not distracted by anything, but they can focus on the Lord who is before them. And praise the Lord that again, through the means of grace, the application for the text is that we no less have access to God. We are no less able by God's great grace and his word and his spirit to focus on Jesus as those did who heard him in this text face to face. We need to turn to Hebrews chapter 7 and the blessed language of verses 23 through 28. Beginning in verse 23 of Hebrews 7. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins, and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the truth, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. Of course, in the text, again, we are the leper, but we are in the presence of Christ, and he gives us grace just as he did to him through his word. We are loved by our Father through him. Indeed, it is a blessing to close within this text and remember Jesus' words to Philip in John chapter 14, when Philip did not understand that there is not a hierarchy within the triune God in terms of Jesus being insufficient to have access to the Father. Jesus' words to Philip, to us, are clear. I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. And so the final application for the text on this Lord's Day night, when you are tired, when you are hurt in your relationship, discouraged, weighed down in this week to come, how blessing it is to go to that alone place where you can focus upon the Father who has sent the Son to save you. You can pray, you can read, indeed, you can have access to the Father by the Son as you pray in his holy name. And so we see here in the text of Mark 1, verses 35 through 45, the precious linking between the worship of the saints, the preaching of the gospel, and indeed the fortifying of the saints day by day through the week in between their Sabbath rest. You come and you hear the promises of God all kept in Christ as these saints did. And again, you are blessed in your leaving all the distractions behind in Sabbath rest to receive the preaching of the word on the Lord's day. You are then able, as you read about Jesus modeling and accomplishing for you the access to the Father in prayer early in the morning while it is still dark. And you are blessed to have that blessing to morning by morning when you wake up with all the distractions that the Father of lies has waiting at your door. To in that quiet place, go and pray to the Father in Jesus' name. And indeed, as the light of the dawn comes over the horizon, to remember the glorious light of the world that has shined brightly through your heart and indeed will continue to persevere you until you are safely home. Again, as the blood leper has been declared clean, so have you. And indeed, your expressions of gratitude to that every morning when you awake is a profound application, indeed, of the gospel that Jesus has at the center of it all. Praise the Lord that he has accomplished your salvation. He has blessed you to pray in his holy name. And again, he promises to persevere you into glory. As again, he went faithfully to that cross in outside of the city gates to bear your shame forevermore. And still today, with his work of salvation accomplished, as we have read, he always lives to intercede for his own. Be blessed as you pray in his holy name and as you receive his intercession. Let's pray now in his holy name. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are indeed to never be without access to your holy throne of grace. How thankful we are that Christ indeed, having offered himself at the cross of Calvary and having proclaimed that indeed he was the Savior of all the world, the fulfillment of every Old Testament promise, indeed explained so clearly in the New Testament alongside it. Father, thank you indeed that we pray in Jesus' name, and thank you indeed that you use prayer indeed to make our burdens oh so light. Thank you that we hear and receive Jesus' words and his promises that he will give us rest. Thank you that while we are weary and heavy laden, that again Jesus was able to bear a burden that we never could. We thank you that he has taken the burden of the guilt of our sins away. Thank you that his yoke is easy and light, and in that he is lowly, indeed ministers to us where we are. And thank you for how he has modeled and how he uses prayer to in his holy name to you as a means to the end of our being persevered and continuing on the path into glory. Thank you for Jesus Christ, the Lord of grace, indeed, in whose name we pray, in the name of Jesus, whose name is above all others, in his name we pray and live, in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.